You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, you sexy buttheads! It's everyone's favorite part of the keto diet. Drew Gasparini here with another fantastic episode of Now We're Talking, the podcast that slaps you so hard that it hurts so good. Today is a very special day because we're joined by someone I'm so excited about. She's making the rounds as a star of several Broadway shows. You may know her for her breakout role in the Broadway adaptation of Groundhog Day or her star turn in the cult favorite Head Over Heels. She'll be in the LA production of some little show called Hamilton, and it was just announced that she'll be co-starring alongside Beth Level in the Broadway adaptation of The Devil Wears Prada. Not only that, we're both Bay Area natives, so that makes us cooler than all of you. Guys, now we're talking with Taylor Amon Jones.
How often do you wash your sheets, Taylor?
Once a week.
Do you think men in general have a hard time remembering to do this?
I don't think they take the time to care.
Someone explain to me. Let me preface this by saying I wash my sheets. Of course I wash my sheets, but I don't think to do it every time I do like a weekly load of laundry. I don't know why that's the last thing I think about. And I don't like making my laundry day like a 6-hour. I don't like going back and forth to the mat. I just don't like making it a whole day. Do you make it a whole day?
So, okay, to be fair, it depends on where I live.
Right.
So when I live in New York City, like one of my expenses is taking my stuff to the mat. I don't do my own laundry. You know, I drop it off. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
so
I do too.
So that way, you know, I just come back and pick it up the next day.
I love it.
And it's no time for me. Laundry is literally just like outside my door. So then it's easier to do. Do you mean?
See, it's riveting conversation we're having here. On this podcast. You're a Bay Area kid.
Yep.
I'm a Bay Area kid.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but I'm always like drawn to or fascinated by the Bay Area transplants in New York City. And I had no idea. And then when I asked you to do this, and then when I like looked up more about you, I was like, what?
Yeah.
And I never know that, like, I never meet you all in the Bay Area. I meet you all in New York, and then I find out way after the fact that you're from the Bay Area. Tell me about your life, your childhood, everything. Tell me about your parents. Do you have siblings? I want to know it all.
Yeah, cool. That should take, like, no time.
Great.
No, yeah.
I totally... have shit to do, Taylor, so great.
No, yeah, I'm a Bay Area kid, like you said. Fairfield, California, born and raised. I'm actually here now because of the pandemic. So
Same. I'm in Marin County right now. It's like we should be doing this in person because we're just like a half hour away from each other right now.
I know.
But we got to be safe. We got to be good.
Yeah.
So you're living back with your parents because of the pandemic.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, I grew up here. I was in like music pretty early in my life. Like I started the piano when I was a kid, and then that led to like band and school. Like I was in all of the bands from elementary, middle school, and high school.
Did you play piano in band? Is that what your jam was?
I played piano in jazz band in high school, but I played flute for like orchestra. And
you played piano in jazz band?
Yes, it was my nightmare, to be honest.
Why?
Wait, way too much pressure.
Are you way talented, like beyond the realms of which I knew? This is
no.
Insane.
Okay. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I played piano. I do play piano, but I'm not like a jazz pianist by any means. It was more like I was the one kid who could play piano and like read the sheet music. So they're like, well, that's where you go. But it was like, it was really embarrassing when we go to competitions and these like kid savants would take piano solos.
Oh no, it's
and they're incredible.
The
and meanwhile, I was like, do 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 do. Okay, move on. Next instrument.
Yeah, please. I don't like. I'm gonna do a 2-bar solo, and then the other people can take the rest of my aid. I don't know. I don't know if this really is the same thing, but I got really nervous because I sang in jazz choir, and I dreaded because the conductor would be like snapping and like, yeah, everyone's vibing and there's a lot of oohs and doo-wops and doo-wada-wadas and all that kind of shit. And then in the middle, during the scat section, I put that in big fat air quotes because I don't even know if that's a real thing, but she would point to us at random, like,
oh,
your
no.
turn. Yeah.
Oh, no.
And then all I would do is like hold one note for like 8 measures. It'd be like, yeah.
Bitty. Whoa, da-da. Like, I was so uninventive because I got so nervous on the spot.
Honestly, that's how I think how I feel on Broadway.
Yeah.
They're like, and run here. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
How long and high can I hold this one? Let's start there.
Is there a lot of that on Broadway? They were like, okay, and then you do what you want here.
For me, but you know, I've come from
for
like.
For you and only you, does this apply?
I don't know. This is like, because, I don't know. Head Over Heels also was just a very runny show specifically for my track and like Bonnie. So it was just like, too much pressure.
Too much pressure. Okay, wait. So before we get up into the land of where we're inevitably going to end up, tell me, like, in high school, you're a music geek, would you say? Is that what you would qualify yourself as? Or was it like, that's just what a part of what you did, but you were like the cool chick?
I would never say I was cool because, like I said, I was in band. So I was in marching band, concert band, and jazz band in high school.
Oh, damn.
But then I was also very much into like my theater gig then. I'd already done like I'd started the local youth company.
You started? You started it?
No. Sorry. Solano. Sorry, you're from the Bay, so I can like speak more specifically.
Absolutely, please do.
Solano Community College.
Amazing.
Had a program called SYT, Solano Youth Theater.
Gotcha.
That you know, kids really, honestly, they had when I started there, from kindergarten through high school, and then it ended up being more like 13-year-olds or like 10-year-olds through high school.
Yeah.
But you'd do a show, it would take, you know, a whole semester. You'd rehearse 3 times a week, but you'd put on a full production, mics, costumes, everything on the Solano College stage, and you got like 3 credits of
pretty
like,
cool
college, you know?
Pretty cool.
So I did that mainly from when I was 11 all the way until I graduated high school, pretty much.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, I was a theater kid, like, especially in high school. That's when I had gone to New York a few times with my mom on a trip. So I'd seen Broadway. We were already going to all the tours that would come through San Francisco.
Sure.
Yeah. And
So that must have been a trip for you, like just seeing tours in San Francisco when Head Over Heels was sitting in San Francisco for a minute. Was that like an absolute full circle kind of crazy thing?
Absolutely.
My parents saw that, by the way. They saw it in San Francisco. They loved it. Yeah.
It was full circle because I had grown up seeing all of the tours that came through there. So to me, it was so, so special. Also, that theater had been closed for quite some time, so that was brand new open, and we got to be a part of that legacy.
That's cool. Yeah.
In that version of Head Over Heels in San Francisco, I was a narrator for the whole production, so I got to intro the show. I like sang a lot more. I had a wave, you know. I literally like in between every scene, I was like, "Wasn't that crazy?" Like inverse, wasn't that crazy? Like, look at this next scene, and like da 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 da. And so for the first time ever and since for my whole career, like even doing shows locally in the Bay, from the first preview until closing day, I knew someone in the audience every single performance.
That's awesome.
Who I'd worked with in my like local Bay Area theater career, or who taught me as a kid. Like,
come on. Do you start pinching yourself when it's that kind of a life, when you're like, oh my God, I'm looking at the people that inspired me as a kid. I'm looking at the mentors I had as a kid, and now I'm doing the thing that they helped me. They helped concrete the path to Broadway, to this out of town, to all these productions I'm doing, and they're here every single night. Are you just pinching yourself left and right?
Yes. I made sure to be very present and just aware of that every time.
Good.
You know,
otherwise, you would have been a big jerk.
Yeah, and it's totally wild. It is so bizarre because I'm not only someone who like grew up in the Bay, but I didn't go to a university. I didn't go to a conservatory. I did community and regional theater here in the Bay in San Francisco. So not only are these people that like helped me start when I was straight out of high school, just like kind of a little kid entering adult world, to professional actors who taught me how to be a professional actor, who taught me how to show up before moving to New York, you know, before any of that, before Broadway. I knew how to be a professional actor because of my community here in the Bay. So I owe them everything. So yeah. I like, this is just another like toot on my own horn, but I forget what day it was, but one day they organized like 25 or 30 people to come and see me in Head Over Heels.
Oh my God.
And that show, when I was a narrator, I used to start with, "Hi, like my name is Mopsa, blah, 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 blah."
Right.
But I was like, "Hi, my name is Mopsa." And they were like, "Wow."
Oh my God.
And they straight up just screamed for like a full, we had like, it was right. a full stop in the show where I had just like sit there and take it. And I will never forget that.
This was your Justin Bieber moment.
Totally was.
You know what I mean? You got to know what it feels like to be him for a little bit. That's really, absolutely. Really freaking crazy. So were your parents always kind of like, God, I'm so curious. I think we've only really met slash hung for a minute, maybe once ever. So
yeah, yeah.
This is really cool for me to get to know, particularly from because you're from the Bay Area. But what were like when you were like, I'm a music geek of sorts. I'm a theater geek of sorts. And what were your parents thinking? Because a lot of parents get like, no, no, no. Let's look at being a lawyer real quick. No, no, no. Let's look at going to business school real quick. What was the support like in the household? Or was there ever a moment of, yeah, we like that you're doing it young, but then you got to get a quote unquote real job?
Yeah, my parents were always like pretty realistic, I would say. So, you know, when you're a kid, it's just like nice to have extracurriculars, I think.
Right.
They were really thrilled once I got my own license so they could stop driving me and I could drive myself to all these things.
Yeah.
But once I like kind of got more serious about it, and especially once you start thinking about colleges, and I was kind of in that place where I'm like, well, I don't really want to go to college.
Right.
They were just like, you have to go to school or you have to get a job.
Yeah.
That my, both of my parents are were very independent young adults, like worked for themselves, have worked for everything they own today,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
And so to them, it wasn't like you have to go to college, but they were just like, you need to make something of yourself.
Right.
So we kind of agreed eventually that like I could take the year off, quote unquote. But I did need to have a job. You know, I can still do my theater stuff, but they're like, you need to pay for your gas. You need to pay for, you know, everything
Absolutely.
Else, how your yeah. food, whatever. And so I always had a like full-time job throughout my young adult life. And I think even once I did end up going to Solano College eventually for a couple of years, I also still had a job. So like I held a job, I went to school, and I still did theater. Like they've always
right.
instilled that in me.
That's the best, right? You got like yeah. just every artist really kind of needs a little work ethic fire under their ass so that they're not sitting on the edge of their bed going, why am I not famous yet? I think I spent yeah. a year or two of my life going, how come I'm not like all the way fucking famous yet? Just playing
I
songs.
Felt that. Yeah. I felt that way when I was 12 and 13.
Yeah.
Like watching the Disney Channel and like all these kids on these, all the shows that I was like, oh, cool. So in like a year or two, like sitting in my living room, like not even yeah. auditioning or nothing, but I'm like, I'm definitely going to be on the next season of this show for sure.
Yeah. I was doing it more at the age of like 32, 33. This was just a couple of years ago, but isn't that kind of weird to think about? You say you're 12 or 13 years old watching these kids on the Disney Channel. And yeah, I mean like that there's kid actors and you look up to them or whatever. Now in the world of TikTok, don't you think it's mind blowing for some of these young people being like, wow, they have 100 million followers. I think it's borderline sickening. And I feel so bad for some of these kids who put all of their life into the time it takes, first of all, to create one TikTok video is
okay.
insane.
Okay, Drew, hold on. Pause, though.
Consider it paused.
Because how long does it take for you to write a song sometimes that is only
Blink
a minute
long? Because I'm a genius, Taylor. It takes no time at all.
Then you haven't been on TikTok long enough because some of these kids crack out these videos
no, you're
quickly because
right.
they
you're
know
right.
what they're doing because they're so, professional in their game.
Ipso facto, you're old, Drew. We get it, Taylor. Thank you. Yeah, no, I feel old. The TikTok thing is the first time in my life I have felt old. And it's because of TikTok. I resent TikTok because it
you know
makes
what?
Me feel old.
You know what? I get it. Because I was that. I would definitely like, and I blame the pandemic. I do.
100%.
that, like, you know, when it started, I was like, I will never, you will never see me on that app. It's way too much. It's way overwhelming. I do not have the time. I don't even know what I would be posting on there.
Right,
2 months ago, where I'm like, you guys, this is crazy. And I'm like singing on all this stuff all the time. Like, because, and what I will say is, you know, it is bizarre. And I know social media is a whole thing. But TikTok, you really do like go viral once and then not again. And then like it's such a kind of lottery ticket thing. And I have found I know some people going viral like is a thing, but for me, it's not. So because it's kind of such this huge ocean of TikTok is almost like quantity over quality sometimes.
Yes. Yes.
And so I feel for me, there's less pressure in that space because I can just like throw whatever is like in my brain. It's more like getting little nuggets of thought out of your brain rather than like here's a whole artistic expression for me right now.
Right.
And I have found
when you see those ones that are like it looks like Spielberg put them together. You're like, how could I ever measure up to something like this?
You don't even try. I'm not trying to do that. I'm not making spill. That's not my jam. That's so much, like, that's a lot of work. Good for you, babe. Like,
right now, my baby sister, Chloe, who is 10 years younger than me, she's just like,
I'm a huge fan of her.
Oh, she's wild. She's crazy good. But she's got, like, the number one used sound on TikTok right now.
That's huge.
She just signed a record deal.
Yeah, dude.
Because of this. I mean, like, when I see this start to happen, I'm like, oh my God, this could change someone's life. Of course, these kids are putting the pressure to make this their lifestyle on themselves. And hers was such a fluke. It was like, I'm just going to post a cover of this Kanye song. Yes. And it blew up. Ghost
Town. But see, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, she just did this thing that she just felt in her brain, that was just stuck in her brain, put it out there. And that truth spark, you know, sparked something. Also, her voice is so sick. So she deserves that.
It's like brown butter. You know when you brown butter before you put it in the baker, in the baked goods?
Yeah.
Chloe's voice is the browned butter that you put into a cookie to give it that real gooey texture. That's what Chloe's voice is to me. But you don't need TikTok because you're already like, you are one of the poppingest office people. I know. Does that also color how old I am? I just tried so hard for popping off. The poppingest, offiest person I've really seen in a long, long time in the industry, just in terms of like this and then this and then this and then this. You had a real big domino effect of a career that I think is so, so interesting. I saw Head Over Heels, of course. Before that, I saw Groundhog's Day. And I mean, like, so you went from two shows, by the way, Groundhog Day and Head Over Heels. Both shows did not last as long as they should have on Broadway. That is my personal opinion, of course, and I'm sure there's thousands of people who agree with me when I say that. In those experiences, were you like, this is going to be the thing. I'm that special girl who's going to have the cult musical catalog behind her, and I'm going to be like a favorite within this demographic in theater. But then you book Hamilton, and then you book Devil Wears Prada, and that was announced right before the pandemic, and Lord knows where any of that is right now. But like, just to see these announcements come out, it's like, oh shit, no, she's about to poppy offy right now.
Oh no,
yes, oh my God. Do you feel when you read your name in a press release next to Beth Level, and again, back to the pinch yourself moment. Maybe that's the theme of your whole episode, is all the pinch yourself moments here. It's like being in the Bay Area full circle with Head Over Heels, and what a huge, even though it was short-lived, like, you felt the love, right, from all the Broadway community?
Oh, yeah.
Loved it. You're actually the third person from that show we've had on this podcast. We've had Bonnie, we had Amber Ardolino, who promised me she'd follow me on TikTok and never did, so let's call her out right now. And now we have you. And now you do Hamilton, and right when that's happening, the announcement for Devil Wears Prada goes out. What's the thought in your mind when that happens? I love when people succeed. What do you feel when it's for you?
So this is a very complicated answer for me. So because let me go back to your first the first part of the question.
Yeah, sorry, I just gave you 33 questions. I don't know if you see the size of this cup of coffee I'm drinking, but it's a keg.
Groundhog Day, Head Over Heels, very short-lived. But also, you're right, like, very cool kind of little cult following musicals because they're about the other of like our communities. Yeah. And then I got to do like Scotland, PA, and I got to do The Tale of Despero with Pigpen.
Oh my God. Jim Jenkinsay and Universal. Yes. I love these people. I work with these people.
And so I feel very cool and ingrained that I've got to do new musicals about weird stuff and weird people others and people like the stories that don't get told. And I do hope to continue to do that for the rest of my life. Like
you 100%. Will. I've already called show business. It's taken care of. That's what we're doing forever.
And then, so at the end of, towards the end of Scotland, PA is when I found out that I booked Devil Wears Prada.
Oh my God.
At that time, I think this is the at that time they're like, hey, guess what? Good news, you have booked Devil Wears Prada. Bad news, weird news, they're pushing back their production a whole year. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, like, that's weird, but like, cool. I will just figure out what to do then.
You were just given a year off. Yeah.
Kind of, yeah, but then also, like, you know, we might have workshops and stuff, so it complicated finding other jobs because my availability wasn't so open, you know.
Right,
like,
right.
So I had to look for very specific jobs that I could kind of step in and step out of. It was strange, and a very scary time for me in my life with no jobs to look. That's also when I did Emoji Land. I stepped in for Emoji Land for a week, like another show about a bunch of others. And then that's when I found out I got Hamilton, was kind of right when I found out I was going to step in for Emoji Land.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, perfect. Like, here's something I can do for a year while I wait for Devil Wears Prada.
And this was the LA production, right?
The LA production, yes. And right. I've auditioned for Hamilton before. I had been talking about trying to get into that show for the years I was in New York City.
I heard
and
it's finally, good.
You know, yes.
I heard it's been doing well.
Really, really is. You know, but then, so here we are. I start Hamilton rehearsals. I'm the only newcomer. So it's already a truncated rehearsal process. And we go to tech. We get our last day of final dress rehearsal. And then the next day is March 12th, last year when everything shuts down.
Yeah, I remember it well. So,
and then sometime last year, maybe it's in the beginning of this year, there's another notice about Devil Wears Prada being pushed back another year. So yes, you're right. I am absolutely pinching myself over both of these opportunities, Hamilton and Prada, but they both still feel like dreams, like fever dreams.
Because you haven't been able to experience it yet.
Not at all. Yeah. So
it's so wild to have a lot of people telling you, hey, so you're in the Devil Wears Prada. Hey, so you're in Hamilton. You're like, am I? I have no idea. This is insane.
Yeah. So it's that reality. And it's just strange, but you know, it's the two things I have been able to hold on to throughout this whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, I have to remain grateful, and I'm so grateful for them. It is wild to see my name in a headline with those titles. It doesn't make sense. And I think because I still haven't done them, it really won't make sense and it really won't feel real until
Before you know it, you're just going to be on that stage and you're going to be looking to your right, and there's Beth Level. I'm looking to your right because I know the blocking already, but you'll be looking to your right and Beth Level will be there, and you'll be there opening night, and Elton John will be there, and Shayna Taub, who I love, and I'm so excited you get to work with Shayna. And I just like that team is going to be epic. And it's you, babe. It's still you.
That's why that just makes, like, you just nailed it. The team of that show is so epic and continues to grow into, like, what I think is just the right direction. And they're just putting the right people on their team. And I'm so excited that it's not real. Like, I am a huge fan of Shayna Taub. I'm like, Elton John, are you kidding? And Anna Shapiro and Beth Level. And, and James Alsop, who's going to be our choreographer. It's just like,
insane.
It is insane, and it does not feel real that it's me, but I am kind of like, I as we inch closer now, and like, I get my second vaccine on Friday, so things feel real. Like,
girl, I get my second on Monday. Here we go. Yes! Let's get back to work. Let's go. Okay. let's go
like it. I am starting to like tell myself to like sit more in that reality and sit more in that foundation. And you know, see that for myself and be like, and you know, it's been a hard year for everybody. And
yeah, dude.
I've had my ups and my downs, but I'm like, yo, babe, like you have to get through this because like once this starts, like you're gonna take over the world. Like, you know, right. I'm just
but so and it's like yes. I mean, and like listen to the resume we've already listed. You've already taken over the world, a big at least a huge quadrant of the world. And it's just gonna get bigger and bigger and bigger from there. And I think it's important for people to hear this. Just like how like if you're not in the immediate theater community and you were part, like you watched the whole world shut down, of course, but like there were shows that were like a day from opening. Wasn't Six like about to open the next day? And like all these things were on these precipices. Is that, I don't know how to pluralize that word. Precipice?
I'm gonna let you go with it.
All right, great. Thank you. Precipices. And you were about to go off this. I had the Karate Kid announcement like 1 month before all this. And there's been moments of, I'm never gonna work again. Broadway's canceled forever. But now like talking to the producers and you're getting back in the full tilt of it. You're like, oh shit. Okay, maybe we got a year longer to wait to get there, but man alive, we're still doing it. And that's exciting. So I'm so excited for you. Wow, you guys, just interrupting the interview real fast to say, don't you love Taylor Amon Jones? She's so chilled. She's so, she's so relaxed. And I love that demeanor. It's the perfect yin to my yang, my big, loud, crazy, over-caffeinated Italian yang. Anyway, as always, I'm here to remind you guys how you can support our guests on this podcast, and that is by following them on their social medias. They're all tremendous artists with a lot going on. So follow Taylor. I can't talk. I've been drinking this morning. Follow Taylor at Instagram or TikTok or Twitter at Taylor Amon Jones and see what she has going on. And hey, while you're in the spirit of supporting artists doing their thing, please go ahead and click subscribe on Apple, iPod, Podcast, Spotify. You get it. Subscribe to the podcast, will you?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Real quick, tangent, okay?
Yeah.
The older I get, the less I appreciate feet, maybe my own feet, but just feet in general, I think, are really starting to bum me out. And I don't want to kink shame anybody, but like, do you understand a sexual nature toward feet? Do you get it? Because I really don't.
I'm also hate feet. I've always hated feet. I hate my own feet. I just don't touch me with them. I don't put them up anywhere around. Like and not to shit. Like whatever you need to do, like that's great for everybody else. But for my preference, I keep feet away from me, please.
I'm getting to a point in my life where I'm starting to wear galoshes to bed. I don't even like having my bare feet in my bed with me. Just the idea just bums me out. Before we talk a little bit more about career stuff, let's go into some stupid questions. How's that sound?
Great. Love to.
I love time wasting questions. It's one of my biggest, like,
you know what? We have nothing but time these days. So.
True that. All right. So let's waste a little more time together. I just bought something that I want to plug right now, and it has to do with oral hygiene, which is something I'm a huge advocate of. And I've met adults in my life who say they only brush their teeth once a day. And that really bums me out, violently bums me out. I bought a tongue scraper the other day.
Oh.
Have you ever tried a tongue scraper?
No, but I have been thinking about it.
It'll change your life. You will never feel like you have bad breath ever again.
Oh.
Truly. I think I'm getting rid of a bunch of taste buds, but my breath is A+. Is there a product that you've been using that you would just like to talk about right now? There's no sponsor or anything.
Yeah.
You can just name anything you like, and let's just try to convince me that I should go get one.
Well, I mean, because we're talking about this, for Christmas, I asked my parents for a water flosser.
Oh, yeah.
And so I have one of those big, like, water flossers now.
Epic.
Oh my God, like you said, it makes me feel so clean and so healthy. Because, you know, flossing is hard for everybody, but I've been told by a dentist as well that my teeth are really close together.
Yeah.
And when I floss, it hurts. Like, it hurts my gums. I know you're supposed to wait, but like, even after months and months, like,
yeah,
everything still hurts. So I was like, I don't want to do this.
You got great teeth. Did you have braces?
No.
You didn't have braces?
No.
Your teeth just look like that?
Yes, yes. Okay, I have good teeth privilege. But what I will say is I get cavities like a mofo. I have more cavities than anybody I know in my entire life.
How many cavities have you had?
Over 20.
Wow.
Like, from when I was thinking about, like, when I was a kid to, like, now as an adult. Yeah.
What is it? Just sugar, or just, like, that's just genetics?
Yeah, I think both, because...
Because you love that sugar.
I love candy.
Oh, same here.
Goodness. Oh, my God, I love
candy. What's your favorite candy?
Kit Kats, like Kit Kats, Reese's, like, cheap M&Ms, just plain chocolate M&Ms. Like, I love the peanut, too, but just cheap. Right at the register.
Cheap.
Candy.
Man, that's you sound like a real junkie right now. It doesn't matter. Just chocolate, cheap. I'll buy it for anything.
Like, they came out with Kit Kat Thins.
Yeah.
And I saw the commercial and I gasped. Like, that's how bad it is. Like, I saw them and I was like,
I got an issue with the Thins because I'm an Oreo freak.
Oh,
I am an Oreo fanatic. Those Oreo Thins, what's all? I'm still eating the entire sleeve.
Yeah, I don't do the Oreo Thins.
That doesn't help me feel better about the amount of Oreos I'm eating. And I do this. This is my fat kid brain. I'll do things like, I buy a whole thing of double stuffed Oreos and then immediately have the regret. I'm like, why did I do that? So my brain goes, just eat them all right now. Then they won't be here.
Yes.
How does that make any sense? How do I let my brain get away with tricking me into this?
You know, like, because living with my parents, I am recognizing where a lot of my bad habits come from.
Oh, God, me too.
You know, my parents, you know, they're grandparents now, so they're not even trying to buy healthy food.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, my mom is like, okay, what 3 bag of chips do you want? Let's get, like, 3 bags of, like, family size candy sharing things, like muffins and cookies. Like, I'm the one who's like, Mom, we don't need this. Like, desperately trying to save myself. I've given in now, and I'm like... Whatever, I'm here. I'm gonna.
Good for you.
Just indulge in this.
Good for you. Oh my God. Let it change everything about you. Let it change your entire shape and the way you feel. And just like, why not? Go dive into the bad food. I say go for it.
Yeah.
All right. We're gonna play a little game. Okay. It's called Every Fourth Question.
Okay.
So I'm gonna toss you some rapid fire this or that questions, and then I'm gonna give you a would you rather as the fourth question. But I'm gonna try to get you those first three ones to keep your brain loosey goosey, so you answer, and then you can justify all the answers as you want. Okay, ready? Here we go. Taylor, cat or dog?
Dog.
Seinfeld or Friends?
Seinfeld.
Apples or bananas?
Apples.
Taylor, would you rather always feel like you have to sneeze and never get to, or would you never be able to complete a yawn?
Yawn. You never be able to complete a yawn.
Really? You'd rather? Have you ever done that? I think I have PTSD because when I shared a room with my brother, if I tried to yawn, he would shove his fucking finger in my mouth and then I'd never get the oxygen my brain needed. So I have this like fear of never finishing a yawn.
Were you yawning without covering your mouth?
Yeah. Is that rude? That's rude.
That's rude. Oh, I only say that because my dad did that to me.
Oh, really?
Yes, and it was to help me to always remember. So he was like, if your hand isn't covering your mouth, I'm going to get in there.
Oh, my God. Because what feels better than like a completed yawn? Nothing.
But it feels what so feels great. Worse than having to sneeze?
And then never getting to? You're right. I mean, like, that's like never getting to orgasm out of your face. That's what that
kinda,
is.
Yeah, but
right?
It's also pain and that tingle. Like, I can imagine just like being stuck in that. No
horrible,
way, man.
Horrible. Okay, just a few more for you. Summer or winter?
Summer.
Yeah, Bay Area girl. Rock or jazz?
Jazz.
All right. West Coast or East Coast?
West Coast. Oh, I said that so fast.
You did. It came right out.
But like,
sorry, New York.
No, but I love New York so much.
Sorry, New York. Okay. Now, would you rather have penises for fingers or a butthole for a mouth? The world wants to know.
I know. Is the butthole still work like a mouth?
Let me repeat the question so everybody listening. I think it bears repeating.
Can I have follow-up questions?
Would you rather? Yeah, yeah. Sure. You can ask me follow-up questions too. Would you rather have penises for fingers?
Yeah.
Or a butthole for a mouth? What are your follow-up questions?
So for the mouth part, does it still work like a mouth? Is it just like your lips are the butthole?
Yeah, but I don't think you get the same. You see how
can you still eat food?
No, I think you have to eat through a straw. Honestly, I mean it's a butthole.
Sure. Oh, fair. Okay, I hear you.
So you'd be talking like this. You can't do this all the time.
And then, are your fingers? Do they like work like penises? Like, are they sensitive to everything?
I don't think like they pee or have fluids or anything like that. But I also want to preface that they are not hardened penises. Like, they don't have the same texture as your fingers.
A butthole for a mouth.
You'd rather have a butthole for a mouth. You don't want to be the Pan's Labyrinth monster that has penis fingers.
No. At least I can like overdraw my lips if I have a butthole for a mouth.
That is true. You could always get them tattooed on. Get them real
I know
thick.
That's probably cheating, but I don't care.
Okay. Desert or jungle?
Jungle.
Oh, same here. Except for like bugs, but like same here.
Yeah.
Disney or Looney Tunes?
Ooh, Looney Tunes with that choice.
Hell, I'm really happy you said Looney Tunes. I'm really tired. Disney gets so much credit for like everything. It's crazy. Okay, and hot or cold?
Hot.
Would you rather have hooves or a tail?
Tail.
God, you flew right into that. Explain.
I don't know. I just thought about that.
Like, you've thought about this before? What would you do with it? Well, like, honest
climb
to God.
Trees. I don't know. Hit people with it.
You think that if you have a tail, you climb trees?
I think because in my mind, it's like a long tail that like you have mastery over and could like wrap around things.
Oh, okay. Like, I see. Like Magellan's tail from Eureka's Castle. Did you ever watch that show?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm about to sound real old again. Let's just move on. Now, let's talk about the West Coast, East Coast thing for a second.
Yeah.
Because I've lived in New York for 13 years, and I'm from the Bay Area most of my life, 18 years, and then I lived in LA and then New York. I love the West Coast, but I think I've always had this, like, East Coast, at least New York, personality in terms of my exuberance and anxiety and excitement and things like that. So I probably would have said East Coast, to be frank, except for all my family's here, and that's lovely. But what made you say West Coast so fast?
You know, I don't know, and I think that's why I reacted afterwards, because I was like, wait, let me take it back. I think just because that's where I'm from, you know, like, this is where my family's from, this is where my first friends are from, this is where, you know, I talk about the Bay Area theater scene a lot, because I owe everything I am to it, but I 100%. Do plan on always like returning back to it. You know, I love coming back here to a performance of, but I kind of agree with like what you just said about myself, that even when I was 13, like stepping foot in New York City, I was like, oh, this is my air. Like, this is where I'm supposed to be, you know?
Yes.
And I feel that when I'm there, I miss it so
Oh my God.
Much. Like, even my friends there are like, we can't believe you haven't been here for like over a year now.
Yeah.
And I feel that
as
well. Like, that is, I miss New York like as much as I miss the people almost, you know?
It was so crazy. You know, at the top of this pandemic, like everybody left, everybody went away from New York, and I didn't get out in time because I got sick. So I felt like everyone left. And then by the time, you know, 8 months goes by, and I'm like, well, we haven't really been working on Karate Kid. I'm not about to sign a new lease out here. You know, it was like a lot of that mentality. So I left and now all my friends are back in New York and I'm going back next month. But it's still been this like, God, it was like ships in the night with everybody I knew in New York City. And now every time I see like a commercial where the Empire State Building's in it, I'm like sobbing. Like crazy. It affects me so viscerally. It's painful.
No, when I'm watching TV with my mom or dad or something, and even like a subway station sign comes up, I'm like, that's New York.
Tell like they don't know. I love
that. They don't know. It's so embarrassing. But
there is a lot of that, right? Like you're like, I mean, I catch myself telling people out here as if they've never been to New York. Most of people I know have totally been to New York, but I'm like explaining why it's amazing. They're like, we know it's New York City. Of course it's amazing. I'm like, yeah, but you don't know how amazing. Let me tell you, it's like the most amazing place you've ever been. And it is. It really is.
And it's hard. I mean, you know, I think something that makes Bay Area natives that move to New York special is it is a very far move. So like you have to be very dedicated and it's a big leap. You know, you can't take the train back to see your family on the weekends. You can't do that stuff. You know, you are limited to holidays because that flight is expensive, you know, like,
yeah.
And so it's hard to make the move and New York City is hard. So you have to have, you know, the guts and the drive and the willingness, what I say, to like get through the mud in that city. And that's what I always tell people if they're like debating on moving. I'm like, yo, I say yes to everyone, but like you have to be ready.
Yeah. Joe Iconis was on the podcast and he said it best. It's so easily put when he said it. It was just, it's a really hard life. But it's a really good life. And I'm like, that's exactly it. Like, if you're ready to experience the good, you have to get through this shit of it. You know what I mean? There's never a moment in New York where everybody's totally comfortable. You know, it's just like every day you get on the subway, you're shoulder to shoulder with angry strangers. If you can do that every day and feel a little uncomfortable, then the good parts of it are going to feel so good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and like I hate driving, so even like the stinkiest, well, maybe not the stinkiest, but like the subway has always just been a dream to me because you know, totally. Bay Area with traffic and we have to drive everywhere. It's just exhausting. So I'm on the subway like.
Made you fall in love with New York? Like, what was the thing in pop culture that made you go, "Oh, damn, New York looks amazing"? Before Broadway. You even got to visit it. It was Broadway. It was the fact that totally. Broadway existed and it seemed like this magical land somewhere where like the best theater gets made. That's what we all, you know, think. Real quickly, I want to talk to you about a friend of mine, a friend of yours. You got to work with a little man named Adam Gwan. Can you talk to me about Adam Gwan? I love him. I want to have him on the podcast so bad. I think he's one of the best composers out there.
Yeah, totally. Yes. I mean, I don't even know what to say. He's just such a good person.
Yeah.
Like all in all, he's so chill. He makes you feel very comfortable.
He's pocket-sized.
I'm short, so I guess he doesn't seem so tall. He's probably taller than me. So I'm like, I guess. I don't know. And he's very sweet, you know. We did Scotland PA, so ours was you know, 70s themed-ish but contemporary musical. You know, Adam draws from very specific styles. So you can hear the influences immediately. You're like, ooh, look at that like 70s disco. But then he's like, let's you do you and like bring it into the new world. And, you know, if you have ideas, he's open to listening and collaborating.
He knows how it works. Like it's when you see someone in this business who's as kind as that, like unnecessarily kind, you're just like, okay, these are the people I want to kind of surround myself with. He's just one of those for sure.
And I just hope that I'm on his roster. Like, I know I'm on his radar. Like, obviously.
You are. You played a...
like, he knows Andrew McDonald. Like, he knows other people. So I get that I'm, like, the JV. You know, I'm on Junior Varsity of... Right. People who asked for his, like, Kennedy Center concert one day. But hopefully...
That'll happen one day.
Yeah, maybe she'll be busy.
God, you know, it's too bad you're about to be like so crazy famous, because I feel like I just missed the mark. I feel like I should have asked you many years ago to do some work with me, and it never happened. And now I'm like, well, now I'll never get you. You're going to be too big. You're going to be too...
Well, I mean, you're also still creating things in your future, unless Karate Kid is just...
That's it. Karate Kid, then I retire. That's the end. Nothing else. So we missed it. That was it.
Or... maybe this, you just never want to work with me. And that was like your nice way of saying it.
Which, God, you know. That so wasn't what happened. But now I know exactly how to like get out of wanting to, you know, just be like real nice. Like, oh, it's too bad we never got to work together. It's like, Drew, you're 34. We have plenty of time. It's like, no. Nah, I'm not doing anything else. I got a Twitter question for you. I just want to talk to you about it. And you talked a little bit about this, but this is a little more defined as a question. How was, because this person, her name is at Tahoe Girl 63, she says, how was the San Francisco experience with Head Over Heels compared to or different from the Broadway experience?
Totally. You know, there's plenty to be said. Obviously, like the show itself changed, but I will say, I actually think San Francisco audiences got us more than New York.
I think
Beauty from the Bay, and I think San Francisco is just more open to like exploring new ideas and new spaces and like spaces that combine, you know, Head Over Heels was a fairy tale inverse rock musical that was also like queer and forward at the same time, feeling timeless. And I think San Francisco was like ready for that discussion, and they really welcomed us with open arms, where I think New York, just in its nature, is a bit more critical. And because, you know, it's Broadway, so they're just criticizing everything.
Yeah.
I think a lot of our reviews were just like, we don't know what this is. And so and we were kind of like, yeah, it's new. And so that's why it like felt like it didn't work for some people.
Right.
I
do get that in New York. Sometimes like you feel like people are going to the show to hate the show. Like they have such a preconceived thought of how they want to feel, rather than going in open and like accepting it and experiencing it as it happens. They're like, ugh, I don't know, I saw the poster outside, doesn't look like my cup of tea. And then they sit down and they won't allow themselves to be surprised by how good it is. They'll just be like, no, I made my decision before I saw it. I didn't like this. Like, right, I think that happens in New York.
It does. The one comment that frustrated me the most in Head Over Heels was seeing people outside and they're like, wow, this was great. I didn't know I was going to like it. I thought I was going to hate it.
Right, right.
We heard that so much. I thought I was going to hate it. I did like, and that told me like, it's not being sold correctly,
man.
You know? And that, so that also tells me that there's a large number of people who aren't seeing our show because they think they're going to hate it.
Yeah.
And then now, really, I feel the impact of the show now, like years later, when other artists and other actors and just creatives and kids comment on, you know, how it impacted them and how good it was and how much they still remember it. And I think it was a bit, you know, that show had a lot of newcomers, like all the kind of the kids in the cast. And then it had a bunch of like Broadway legends in it as well. So
totally,
it was just cool to like, that show has a history, and I feel like it's like a little mini legend, even though it didn't get.
It is. It's a mini legend. And you know what was really cool about it? And I've known Bonnie for such a long time. It was really cool to see Bonnie finally get this role that like she deserved. I mean, like, she really, that would have been that star-making role for her. I really think that that was such a big thing.
You know, yeah, it was and it is. If we ran longer, she would have had a Tony by now.
Yep.
But, and you know, it wasn't my debut. So, you know, I didn't get like the, like, yay debut stuff. But because, you know, I was Bonnie's partner in that show, I was witness to a lot of her best moments and special moments.
Right.
And, you know, I feel like there's a bunch of different ways that people make their debuts. I was thinking about this the other day. Some people, you make it as replacing somebody in the middle of a run. Sometimes you make it opening a brand new show. Sometimes you're like Bonnie and you've been in New York for 10 plus years. And when you make your debut, like it infects the entire Broadway community.
Yeah.
And hers was one of those that I just like, people that I had been looking up to and been fans of coming to Bonnie and been like, I'm so excited. You're fine. Like made your debut. It's so exciting to see you here. So
big time.
It was very cool. to be a part of her history. I've always been saying that, like,
that's kind of how I felt, like, because, you know, for the writers, for the composers of, that I all know, I'm pals with all these guys. So when Joe Iconis finally got Be More Chill on Broadway,
oh yeah,
I was like, dude, we've been wanting, like, you were like the little golden child and we all were behind you. And so, like, to finally see you do it, it makes you feel closer to it, I guess is what it is. And that's a really cool thing. But also, like, mm-hmm. finally someone getting the due that they put the hard work into. And I think that that's a really cool experience as well. Taylor, we're going to end real quick here. But before I do, I just wanted to let you know that once we're done, just give it a minute when I push stop on the recording, because it takes a second for things to download.
Yeah.
And then we can bounce off and be good.
Cool.
Taylor, I really, really want to say, on behalf of the Bay Area, because I speak for, I'm like the Lorax for the trees, I speak for the Bay, I couldn't be more excited for the things you've done, because of everything you said, that it's about the others. It's about, and you have something so special that I hope kids understand and look to you as an example of this individuality, uniqueness. You are so tremendous to watch on stage. One of my favorites in recent years, and I can't wait to see the rest of your success kind of unfold truly. If there's something you could say to somebody else who was young, maybe in the Bay Area doing the community theater shit and mm-hmm. having big grand dreams of Broadway, what would you tell that person?
It's totally possible. You know, there are hundreds and hundreds and thousands of jobs in New York City on Broadway. Mm-hmm. It's super, super hard. So you just have to be ready to put in the work. Believe in yourself. Believe yeah. in every single part of yourself. Your whole being is what makes you unique and special. And those gifts are what you can bring to the world. And the world deserves to see them and they deserve to be seen. And so just remember that and never give up.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. Taylor, thank you so much. Continued success. And, you know, in real life, I really do mean it. I hope we can work together someday. And beyond that, I look forward to seeing Hamilton in LA when I come to visit. I look forward to seeing Prada when that hits the stage. And hopefully we can just get a martini when all of this is over and just have a real life chat, okay?
Yes.
Thank you for everything. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Well, God damn it. Thank you so much for listening. I really love when you do that. Now We're Talking is a proud member of the Broadway Podcast Network. You can find out more about me, Drew Gasparini, and this podcast at bpn.fm/NowWe'reTalking. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Drew Gasparini, or on TikTok, which is at the Drew Gasparini. They've shadow banned me, so tell TikTok to go f*** itself and continue to follow me there. Hey, make sure to subscribe and rate this podcast wherever you stream your podcast. That's a very important part of this outro, so please don't ignore it. And let's all give a round of applause for Taylor Iman Jones. I adore her. This was a really fun interview, and I hope you guys enjoyed listening to it. Hey, while I have you here checking out the very end of this podcast, I just want to say, if you don't have anything nice to say, then don't say anything at all. Goodbye, everybody!
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.